Welcome to The Bridge, Your Health, Your Voice, the official podcast for the University of Maryland, Baltimore School of Pharmacy Patients Program. The Patients Program is the bridge between the community and researchers. The Patients Program created this partnership to help researchers listen to the community's voice in order to build a bridge to an effective learning healthcare community. Here's your host, Rodney Elliott.
As you know, the Patients Program is going national, and my next guest is a key component of that, of taking what we do here in West Baltimore, what we've been successful at, and stretching it beyond our borders here in Baltimore. And I'm going to give a little bit of introduction before we get to our questions and conversations. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is at the forefront of transforming how we understand the true value of healthcare. He's Vice President of Clinical Data, Science, and Evidence at Novo Nordisk. He and his team are dedicated to evaluating and communicating the clinical, economic, and humanistic outcomes of pharmaceuticals and other medical interventions. They do this by bridging science, strategy, and storytelling. His work empowers stakeholders across the healthcare ecosystem to make more informed, patient-centered decisions. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited for you to hear who we're talking to today, and it's none other than Christopher Blanchette. Christopher, did I say your last name right first? Did I say it?
Yeah, thanks, Rodney. Yeah, no, that was perfect. Yeah.
Welcome. How have you been?
Good, doing really well. Yeah, thank you.
For our viewers, or our listeners, I should say, Chris has the best background that we've had so far here, and it's not a picture. He's in Jersey. Yeah. So if you're looking at him right now, he has an awesome view right now up there in New Jersey to talk about things that Novo Nordisk and the Patients Program are doing together. Chris, how does the work at Novo Nordisk ensure that everyone, all parties, all communities, when it comes to health equity, is truly embedded in your work rather than just a buzzword, so to speak, right? You guys do a lot of great work, including everyone in, addressing the healthcare needs, but how does Novo Nordisk do it specifically?
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, I think Novo Nordisk does it through, you know, groups like mine. So my group is about 100 people, 100 scientists and public health specialists that are really trying to figure out how the healthcare system works, what the issues are with patients, how some of our products can address those, and even which patients may not benefit the most from our drugs, right? So a lot of it is really trying to, you know, better understand where we can help and where we can fit in the whole ecosystem.
I like that. I think you shared that before in one of our settings before when we asked that same question or a question like that. But when we talk about authentic community engagement, that's a lot of work that we do here at the Patients Program. And it's been kind of evolving, I would say, right? I've been here 7 years. So what I first started on how I engage the community is a lot different from where we are now. We've had a pandemic in between the time that I've been here. So we've had a different spaces and places to how to, you know, frame the authentic community engagement. What does that look like? Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like from your lens, from your team that you lead over there at Novo Nordisk, and kind of what motivates you guys to build these long-term relationships and trustworthy relationships with the community that you serve?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, so I think our whole organization is focused on helping patients. I mean, It's interesting in the media, sometimes that's lost, right?
Yeah.
Pharmaceutical companies and, you know, either in media or shows or TV or whatever you see, you kind of see the bad part of pharma. Or maybe you have a few bad actors in different pharmaceutical companies. But in my 20-year career and working in pharma and academia and different places, everybody I've worked with is focused on how do we help patients? How do we get treatments to patients? How do we make sure that we benefit their lives? And, so I'm always inspired by my colleagues in the pharmaceutical companies I worked in. And Novo's no different. We're focused on that. I think historically, just healthcare in general has not been a very, consumer-driven or patient or focused industry, which is just sad. I mean, it's just, you go out and you buy a car, or you go out and you buy any type of good and, they treat you like a customer, or, if they don't stay in business very long. But for some reason, healthcare and healthcare systems have perpetuated this concept of, treating people not so well and not like they should be treated like customers. And so I think, the pharmaceutical industry struggle with that as well, too, because we focused a lot around the healthcare system and talking to physicians and doctors and, you know, and not spent as much time as we should have on really direct to patients and direct to people and communities and so forth. So I think, but that doesn't mean we haven't been. I mean, we've always focused on, you know, how do we make sure that patients get the medicine, that the right patients are get the medicine, the patients shouldn't get the medicine, don't get the medicine. So I think, you know, there's a lot of work that happens behind the scenes that, that people may not be aware of. But I think that trust is still lacking because of the lack of how healthcare systems have engaged communities, engaged people, you know, and so I think there's a lot of work to be done. And I think the patients program that, you know, that you guys are doing an excellent job of really trying to bridge that gap that's there. So it's good to be part of that program and how to move it forward and hopefully share some of the work that we do in pharmaceutical companies to really help patients. Hopefully that comes through and we start to build that trust back up that may not be there. So, yeah.
You're right, Chris. I think when I first started this job, again, a couple of years ago, and my first couple instances out and about in community, and I tell people I'm Rodney Elliott, community engagement specialist, the patients program, and we do research.
Yeah.
When did I mention that research word? Sometimes the community members look at me like, uh-oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Coming to the community and kind of, you know, treating us as guinea pigs. And, you know, I've learned to allow folks to have their space and sharing their concerns because some of that is valid, right? A lot of it is valid, to be quite honest. But in order to change some of the outcomes for themselves and people behind them or their communities behind them is that you have to have a seat at the table. So Patients Program understands that, and we spend time with our community members. We spend time with our organizations and leaders in the community to hear to them and understand what their concerns are. And it's good to know that organizations and pharmaceutical companies like yourself are understanding that pledge as well, too, is that, you know, there may be a negative connotation to how the organization as a whole is looked at. But when you have time to spend time with community members or leaders in the community or even organizations like the Patients Program and bridge that gap, I think that helps solve or at least help folks feel a little bit more comfortable about making an educated decision. And then on your front, making medicines, devices and things of that nature that, again, will help improve health care. You talked a little bit earlier about some of those barriers that are preventing, right? Can you talk to us a little bit about, like, what are some of the barriers that are preventing communities from participating in research? And then how has Novo Nordisk, organizations like yourself, addressed some of those going forward?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is it's the trust part there. Like you mentioned, you know, when you mentioned research, I think it's a little bit scary and concerning. And, you know, I think the other thing is the trust in education and understanding, right? And, you know, it's interesting because it's in our best interest to make sure that the patients are engaged, that patients are involved in not only the research, because when they're involved in the research, then we learn. We learn from them.
Yep.
What is it they want? What kind of treatments do they want? How do they want the medicines to improve their lives? Because at the end of the day, when we then go sell the medicine, if it's not helping them, they're not going to use it. They're not going to take
correct.
It. Not going to, you know, so it's only in our best interest to make sure that we're putting out products that actually help them and improve their lives and change it. And the only way to do that is make sure we do that research. We hear them early on to be able to address those concerns. And that, you know, from a business perspective, you know, it's just like if you're selling a TV, if you don't listen to what your customers want on how a TV works, you're not going to be able to sell it in the market. So, so I think that's the key is really trying to make sure that we help them understand that's in our interest, that we need to know from them, that they're a crucial part of our ability to function as an organization and the way we do that is through research and better understanding them, you know, and we, you know, we want to make sure that we also communicate to them, what are the challenges in the research? What are the issues? What are the concerns? What risks, you know, that they may undertake, but also the benefits that they could perceive and that there is a risk and a benefit. You know, it's still research. We're still trying to figure out, does the medicine work? Does it help them? Does it not? Right.
Chris, I call those benefits kind of like the light bulb. Like imagine a light bulb that pops over someone's head. I know I've seen that out and about in the community after I've had time to spend time with them, talk to them a little bit more about a project, talk to them a little bit more about what participating in clinical or non-clinical research looks like, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, that light bulb pops up, say, oh, okay, I understand that. Now I feel educated enough to make a decision for myself. Can you talk to us a little bit about what are some of the benefits that you or some of your team members have kind of experienced from establishing that trust with community members, establishing that trust with communities? Because, again, we want the community to benefit as well. But the folks who are engaged in making these policy changes, making these devices, making these medicines, like, how has your group, your team benefited from this new approach?
Yeah, I think my team, we benefit quite a bit from the approach, because then once we're educated, once we know more about the, you know, what the patients want and how they feel, we're able to communicate that back across the organization. We're a big organization. We're about 80,000 people worldwide. And a lot of the voices that are coming from patients, they may not get to all the parts of the organization. So it helps us with the development programs and how we develop the drugs, maybe what endpoints we're looking for in the trials, what are the outcomes that patients want. So it helps us to communicate that back in throughout the organization to really shape how we do research, what is it, what drugs we're even looking for. You know, so some of the drugs that we're investigating, they may not be important to patients out there at all. And that's really important for us. It's important for us to hear that and be able to communicate back. You know, I think we talked a little bit about the benefits for patients. It's, you know, that's also important. It's important to know, you know, that the patients that are involved in our research, they need to represent the patients that are going to take the medicine. And for us, it's important to know which medicines work and which don't. And there's a lot of case studies out there where patients that may not have been in trials, you know, you don't know what the data looks like. And then once you make the medicine, it comes out and it doesn't actually help those patients because they weren't in the research that was done. So, but yeah, I think for us, it's more awareness, more engagement with patients, hearing from them, getting their voice and be able to communicate back across the organization and learning from that. How do we change what we do because of their input?
Having a seat at the table, that's one of the terminologies that if you know the patients program or you've been with us or been around us along, we mimic that a lot. We say that and literally means just that, having a seat at the table, right? We're talking about a table of research, a table of you know, education, the table of bi-directional learning, because you've heard it here. Novo Nordisk and his team learns not only from the patients program, but they learn from the community as well. So, and I think that whole relationship leads to a better understanding, a more efficient, more innovative approaches to address healthcare. Not everything's going to be right. Not everything's going to, you know, but we hope to strive, but we're striving for things that help, striving for things that assist. Talk to a little bit about that balance, right, between the rigorous scientific research, also while making sure what you find leads to real, like, you know, scalable change for the community.
Yeah. Well, I think there's always competing interests. I mean, I think the challenge in drug research is you got to do it fast. You kind of got to get it out there. You got to balance the rigor and the scientific methods and the approach. But then also you have to balance the long-term impact, which is, are you putting something out there that's useful, right? And putting something out there that's going to help patients. And having a long-term perspective is what guides you in that sense, right? You can't put out there a product that's not helpful, that's not useful, the patients don't want. And definitely you don't want to hurt patients. You want to make sure that you're helping them out. So having a long-term perspective there is really important. And that should be your guiding star for everything you do as you do research is really the goal is to help and the goal is to make a difference. And then everything else kind of falls in line. If you put out a product that's useful and helpful and can help patients, then people buy the medicine and then the medicine generates sales and you keep your business going. So, you know, but I think some companies, if you're too short-sighted and you just want to get the research done and quickly and, you know, get it executed. But those people feel it on the back end. So those companies that make those bad decisions, poor decisions to do the research fast and I think then they suffer later on when they put a medicine out that just doesn't help people. And, you know, so I think that it all works in line and, but it's part of having a long-term strategy and a long-term outlook on doing what's best for patients, which will ultimately help your product and your company.
Chris, I think one of the things you talked about as far as, you know, looking at the North Star or, you know, understanding the long-term effects or long-term decision-making when it comes to building these relationships is so important. And you hear that a lot, right? And I don't think you can't hear that a lot, talking about the relationships and that bi-directional learning. Chris, talk to us a little bit about the partnerships between Novo Nordisk and academic institutions, the community organizations, the patients program. Dr. Mullins did a fantastic job of recognizing where the need was. The patients program sits right in the middle between our researchers, universities, organizations, and the community. And we help bridge those gaps, help navigate those conversations. What role does the partnership that you've established with the patients program or just other organizations as well, right? Academic institutions, community organizations, what role do they play in advancing health equity for everyone, for all?
Yeah, I think it helps in many ways. I mean, I think it helps us quite a bit. I have my researchers are actively engaged in the program. They go through the training. They're really starting to open up their eyes, you know, on what the challenges are and how patients feel and kind of those issues. And it helps them kind of look from the other side, sit there and be more engaged. You know, a lot of my researchers are data scientists, so they're looking at data and they sometimes lose sight that one line of data, that's a person, that's a real person there on the back end, you know, that's somebody that, and unfortunately when we see something in the data that, you know, is not good or you know, that's real suffering on the other side, that's a real patient that had a problem, that had some real issues, and that's our duty and our goal to keep that from happening again with other patients. So I think it's been good in having these collaborations and partnerships with academic organizations, you know, such as the University of Maryland and the Patients Program. It helps us stay connected. It helps us get in there and talk to the community, and it helps my researchers, you know, identify with the people in the community to help them understand and better just appreciate the input that they can get. And when they're looking at that data, they really have some meaning behind it, and they really think about it. So it's been great for us. And then how we use that and we share that within the organization, you know, like I said, when we hear things, when we have engagements and we have hearing from the community, we're then the advocates internally to the company. We bring that back to the company. We tell them, we push back on things that don't make sense. So we translate their voices back into the organization, you know.
Yeah. That's being innovative, right? That's having that listening ear and then taking that back to the community, taking that back to your organization and figuring that out. I know some of your teammates, members of your staff probably participated in the PPA, Patients Professors Academy, which is a program where they do just that, right? It's a 5-week free educational program where you have community members, researchers, folks from pharma, you have folks from the insurance company, folks who have lived experiences, doctors, all together learning from each other. And again, I always talk about the light bulb and the light bulb pop above someone's head, like, oh, I get it now. So for one of your analysts to understand the importance of when they look at data, it's a number for sure, but that number is connected to a person.
Yeah.
That number is connected to a family, connected to a community. Yeah. I think when folks spend time a little bit more with community members or organizations of each one, it's outside of their office, not in front of their computer, that helps along the way, along the process. And we're talking about going national. Patients program is taking exactly what we're doing or have been doing here in Baltimore, in West Baltimore specifically, but beyond, right?
Right.
And Novo Nordisk and the team is part of that. How has partnering with us, the patients program, in this going national initiative influenced the way, you know, you think about patient engagement along the research process, or the way your team thinks about patient engagement?
Yeah. No, I think it's been great. I mean, I think the program and what you guys are doing there in Baltimore is tremendous. And it's tremendous in a way that you know, it's helping to help change healthcare. It's helping to change research. It's helping to change how pharmaceutical companies think about the patient. And I think now what we need is, you know, more diversity. We need to look at other communities, other, you know, parts of the country so that we can then, you know, interject that perspective as well. So I'm super excited about it going national and seeing this cascade across the nation and gaining more insights and learning and, you know, continuing to develop and evolve to make sure that we're helping patients. Yeah.
I love that, Chris. The patients program has been excited. I myself am working diligently on this program to locate new communities that we can benefit from and work from. We can have those conversations, right? We can meet at the table. We can meet the community where they are. I'm excited and happy that Novo Nordisk is a part of that as well. Chris, this is going to be one of my last questions, and we can get you back to your workday. We talked about Novo Nordisk understanding the importance of building those relationships, right? And that's a pharmaceutical company, and it's a business, so we understand what the end goal for them is, right? They want to make sure, you know, when they're producing these medicines and these new interventions, that they're doing it the right way, right? We're having those conversations with community members, leaders in the community, in the research community. What steps can researchers, healthcare professionals, and even everyday individuals take to support the initiatives that Novo Nordisk is doing? You know, when it comes, again, we're talking about health equity for everyone, you know, from your lens, right?
Yeah.
Novo Nordisk lens, what advice or insight could you give the researchers, healthcare professionals, even everyday individuals?
Yeah. I think my number one bit of advice is just get out and talk to people, right? Get out and talk to the other person in the other side. You know, I think there's a lot of divisive communication out there in media and you know, the news and shows and stuff. Just get out and talk to the people on the other side. Because what you learn very quickly is, you know, they're very similar to you. Like, you know, they've got a lot of the same issues and concerns and challenges. And, you know, I think most people mean well. Most people want others to do well and others to be, you know, comfortable. And so I think that putting people together, the researchers, the scientists, the community folks, the patients, putting them together, getting them to hear from each other. I think that's the way we kind of start to progress and move forward. And you know, it's really around empathy, like getting to understand each other really helps that dialogue and helps that move forward. And I think it breaks down a lot of the fear and concern that you have from the other folks. So I think that's my advice. Yeah.
Chris, this is great advice. And I think ever since we've been chit-chatting and talking and having meetings and about going national, is one thing I think you and your organization has understood. Again, some of your team have participated in PPA. You know, we're investing in each other going national. So I'm excited to know that patients program work is being heard. Organizations are understanding the importance of what you just said, spending time with folks, spending time with community members, spending time with researchers, because we're all part of this process.
Right.
So, Chris, I appreciate you for spending time with us today.
Yeah. Great to have me. Yeah.
And I look forward to us working together, going national. I know we'll see each other again, probably on a Zoom or maybe even in person. But, Chris, I appreciate your time and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rodney. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge, your health, your voice. To learn more about the Patients Program, visit our website at www.patients.umaryland.edu.